Good morning. It is Tuesday, October the 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin this Tuesday with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you, and we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, "But the People Were Thirsty." I thirst. Our text is Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. Hear now the word of the Lord. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Is anyone thirsty? The truth, everyone is thirsty. Really, really thirsty. It is fascinating how God provides quail in the evening and manna in the morning, yet He is willing to let the Israelites struggle and suffer with a lack of water. Why does He allow them to thirst? The average parent never tells their children to make sure they eat enough on a hot day. But you can bet they will tell them to drink lots of water. We can go quite a while without food, but we would never even consider fasting from water. The Israelites added a new feature to their grumbling habit, quarreling. Look at Moses' terse response. Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" They only wanted a drink, Moses. How is that testing the Lord? They were thirsty. Here's my take. Something about thirst creates desperation. Something about desperation focuses prayer. And something about prayers of desperation creates a context for divine breakthroughs. Something about divine breakthroughs transform nominal religion into blazing faith. And something about blazing faith changes not just one life, but transforms entire communities and traverses up and down generational lines. Remember where we started. Thirst creates desperation. Thirst is the setup for the miracle. God allows them and us to thirst because He wants to give us the gift of desperation. There is a profound connection between the thirst of our physical bodies and the much deeper thirst of our souls. Our souls thirst for the Spirit of God, like people walking for days in the wilderness without water. We try to quench our thirst in every conceivable way, yet our thirst only deepens. Think about that psalm: as the deer pants for the water brook, so does my soul thirst for you, Lord. I've always been fascinated by the way liquor stores are often called spirit shops. There's something really ancient in this connection between drinking and spirits. In fact, Paul confirms the connection in his exhortation in Ephesians 5, where he says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." It's why addiction has been called the sacred disease. Here's a great mystery, though. How is it that the people who drink the most alcohol become the greatest at living in denial of their thirst for it? Here's a great truth. The deepest, most profound, and otherwise unquenchable thirst of every single person on planet Earth is for God, namely God the Holy Spirit. Do we really believe this? As we close today, let's remember this story from the Gospel of John. Jesus once made a secret trip from Galilee to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. This feast commemorated the Israelites' wilderness years. In order for the memory to lead them back into the mystery and back into the movement, people would make little brush arbor huts and live in them throughout the feast. By this time, Jesus was a wanted man, and he laid low for most of the week. He did some teaching in the temple courts. And then John shares this bit. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. That's John 7, 37 to 39. Here's the thing about thirst. As Jesus quenches our thirst with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we find ourselves both satisfied, yet thirsting for more. This is the great challenge, an inestimable gift of the wilderness. There is always more. The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. We hear you from the cross speaking those words, "I thirst." You said them for yourself, and yet you said them for us, even for me. Yes, Lord, I thirst. Would you deliver me into the reality of my thirst? Even let me walk around for days without water to unveil it? I receive your deliverance into real thirst. And then from this kind of thirst into real drink. Put me in touch with the desperation of my soul to drink living water from the well of Jesus. And then disciple me into the experience of rivers of living water flowing from within me. Just let me imagine it now, rivers flowing from within me, outward, living water, everywhere the river goes, everything will live. It will be for my good, for others' gain, and for your glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Our journal prompts today. Are you in touch with your thirst? Do you know an experience of desperation for more of God? Are you willing to become more real with this than ever before? Not religious, but real. We're going to sing a hymn in a minute that is not in our seedbed hymnal, but I've printed the words in the email if you have access to that, or maybe they'll be in the podcast format transcript there. It's called Fill My Cup, Lord. Fill My Cup, Lord. We'll sing it in just a minute. But a couple more comments here. I think, you know, if you're in the United States, you're living in a culture, we're living in a culture that is just being flooded with alcohol. And, you know, I'm not wanting to make a moral statement about that. We just need to get out of the entire territory of shame. That's just such a dead end. It's so worthless to try to shame people for drinking problems. I was looking online the other day and I saw where right now it's about a $2.5 billion industry. And within 5 years, it'll be $5 billion. We are living in a land of desperate thirst. And the alcohol industry is rising up to meet that thirst, booming. And with all of the craft beer and craft bourbon and the wine industry and the water coolers. And I mean, it's just endless what is coming. And the thirst is there and it's growing and it's insatiable. And that number will go to $10 billion in no time. That's just a fact. And it's interesting to me how this is not new. I mean, I look back in the 19th, 20th century, you have the temperance movement where they actually, it was in the 20th century, I think, where they got an amendment to the Constitution to outlaw alcohol as though that were somehow going to work. You can't deal with appetite on the supply side. It has to be dealt with on the demand side. And that's person by person by person finding another source to quench their thirst. And of course, we know the only source is the river of the Holy Spirit, the river that Jesus says will flow from within us. Jesus says, come to me and drink. Go back to the well there at Jacob's well. He says, if you'd asked me, I would have given you living water. She said, sir, give me that water. That's kind of where we've got to come to is, sir, give me that water. I'm tired of this deception that I've been caught in of this, whatever it is that I'm drinking. And it's many things, but I think you're reading me this morning here on Taco Tuesday. I'll just leave it right there. I'm just saying, I see this everywhere. I get it. I've experienced it. I know how this works. And alcohol so readily becomes an idol, which is what I mean by that, is it becomes a source that we tap into that promises us some kind of deliverance. And actually, it delivers us deeper into slavery. Even if you don't have an addiction problem, I mean, it's just amazing how it just can lay hold. Somebody was saying to me, like, you know, alcohol just feels like a really nice warm hug. And it leaves you completely alone and isolated and lonely and just wanting to go back to it again with the same experience. Jesus can and will deliver you from it. That's what I'm saying today. And it's not so much a stop, 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 stop. It's a, could you now open up and let me pour out my spirit afresh, anew? Let me displace. Remember, transformation works by displacement, not replacement. It's not, I got to stop doing this so God can start doing this. No, it's, I have to open up to receive. And he comes in and he displaces what's broken. Right? Love goes first. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's replace. It's receive and then release. You can't release it until you've received, in fact. I got to stop. Let's sing our hymn today. Words are in the email. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. I'm gonna key it down a little bit. There are millions in this world who are seeking for pleasures earthly goods afford. But none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. So, my brother, if the things that this world gives you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Wow, what a perfect song. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Guys, there's good news. I mean, don't get down on yourself today. Don't slip into condemnation. If you're struggling, just open wider to Jesus. Just make an altar today. the Lord my deliverer. And just say, enough. I'm turning. I'm returning to the Lord. It's not that you're not with the Lord, though. It's time to turn to the Lord with all your heart. It's time to sort of make the fire where the idol can be burned, where the worthless idols that we have just in our weakness fallen into can be thrown away. Well, that's a good place to stop today. I'm in Savannah, Georgia today. We'll be at Good Shepherd Church tonight. I think we're having Taco Tuesday around 6 o'clock. If you want to come out and see us, love to have you. Get your seeds, friends. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.